tool in, good fishing and tight line.
Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Great to have your company this afternoon. Wherever you are, whatever the time, the weather, I can tell you what, the sun's shining here. But for you, it's time to take 25. Join us. Put your feet up, relax, pour yourself a cuppa. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM. Another Wednesday afternoon. I'm up to my armpits and sawdust and chicken fluff and things like that. Oh, it's quite nice actually just to get away for a moment and be here at the station.
Well, I'm absolutely totally gobsmacked with what you said to me last time about how you're going to be a mother again. And I believe you've got dozens of them coming on. I do not understand how you do this whole chicken breeding thing. Like you said, cow failure was a massive problem for you, and then there were candles. And I mean, tell me about it. Tell me how you start deciding what it is, what egg it is that you're going to breed for a start.
Right. Well, there's a couple of breeds that we have. We, for our chicks, we have heritage breeds, so not the kind of normal run-of-the-mill breeds. And there was a particular breed that we wanted, and it's a little bird. It's a little grey lavender bird called an Araucana, and it actually lays blue-coloured eggs. Well, the shell is blue-coloured, not the inside. And so we have one of these, and we wanted to give her a few mates, you know, because all the other birds are quite a lot bigger than her.
Okay. And blue, how does it get blue? Is it because of something it eats, or is it just the way it's genetically made up? Do you feed it anything different? Or?
Not at all. That's just the way they do. They originate from South America somewhere, and it's just a bit like duck. Often ducks will lay blue eggs, different types of ducks. So it's just the breed.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So. And where do you get the eggs from? Do you buy them to breed them, or?
Yeah, so for this one we have bought, and interestingly enough, there's two places that we have that we buy from. One's not too far away, so we can go and pick them up. The other one is down in the South Island, and you just kind of order it over line, and next minute some eggs arrive in your letterbox. And then, you know, away you go. Then they go into the incubator.
So how soon after, this is just totally fascinating me, how soon after the blue egg chook lays the egg, does it have to end up with you in the incubator? I mean, how much time have you got to do that?
Within a week. So if you think naturally in what a chook does naturally, if it was going to become broody and... you know, have chicks, it would lay an egg each day, and it usually lays about 4 or 5 before it then sits. So you've got about 5 days, really, 5 to 6 days. Now, once she sits, or once that warmth comes onto the eggs, that's when they start to develop.
Right.
So they get them to us, and then we have a little incubator that takes 10 eggs. And so once they're in there and we turn that on, from there it's 21 days.
Okay, so that's what the power failure issue was, because the heat had gone off and you were worried about that.
Yeah.
So then you put a candle under them to be able to see whether the chick was alive in the shell.
Yeah, so what you can do, and I think probably this is what they do a lot with commercial eggs, to make sure that inside, that there's nothing inside, because often within a egg, you might find a little blood spot or anything, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that, but you don't find them commercially. Those eggs would still, you know, they'd be all turfed out. So when you actually hold an egg up, you can use a torch. They call it candling. But if you hold an egg up and put a torch underneath, you can actually see inside whether, if you can just see light, then it's just the yolk and the white, and there's nothing else in there. You can see any blemishes in there, because you'll see a dark spot. And so when, after the power cut, and again, we had to wait for a couple of weeks to see, before you see whether they're formed in there, again, you just hold the candle, the torch underneath, and if it is, the whole egg's dark, so you can't see any light through there, well, there's obviously a chick in there. Or if there's a big dark bit in there, you can see a chick. But you could do it with any egg. You could hold a torch underneath, and yeah,
so. Ultrasound chicken hatching,
yeah.
Style. I mean, it's amazing. So, how many of these eggs have you got?
Right, so we got 10, and we got 7 chicks from those 10 eggs.
Okay,
yeah. So they're now running around, making my life hectic.
Right,
but they pretty well look after themselves. Chickens are one of the only birds, well, that I know, that from the moment they're born, they can look after themselves. So apart from heat, they'll eat and they'll find water for themselves. They don't need their mum to eat the food and regurgitate it and feed it to them.
So like
they
the can, other birds do, yeah.
Yeah, they're up and running.
So out of the 10 eggs, you've got 7 chicks. The other 3 eggs, do they get eaten or do they get thrown? Or?
No, they get thrown.
They get thrown.
Yeah.
And then are you going to breed again?
No, once we've got these ones, well, depends whether what they are, whether these 7 are going to be roosters or whether they're going to be hens. And we won't know that for a while yet. But basically from that, then we'll have enough chickens that what we want anyway, and then it will be just a replacement, you know, as chickens naturally die off. Every so often we'll, you know, then replace them.
So I take it no roosters are allowed on the farm?
Yes, we have one rooster. He's a very handsome fella.
But is he allowed to crossbreed?
Well, this is why we got eggs in. So we did allow one of our chooks to get broody and sit. And so we do have two crossbred hens because obviously there's one rooster, but we've got four different types of chickens. Yeah, so we don't usually let our hens get broody. We'll usually take the eggs straight off them. Right. So, okay. Yeah.
Very fascinating. So how long does a chicken live for?
I have no idea, to be honest.
So you can just, they just keep running around, laying eggs for you every day or every year or every whenever. And,
yeah.
And like pets, you get to know them and eventually they've got to die of old age. It'll be interesting to find how long you actually keep your chickens for.
Actually, that would be quite interesting. And you're right. Like any other pet, they've all got their little personalities, you know.
I can imagine. It's I'm dying
incredible.
To see the blue eggs.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to have to bring me some blue eggs.
Yeah, certainly will. We'll get a photo up there once they start laying, but that's not going to be for another 6 months. So they'll probably start laying, how old are they? Usually about 6 months, I think, when they start laying. So we're a wee way away from that yet. But, yeah.
That's amazing. Very, very, very interesting. Well, talking about growing things, me and my fish again. I'm right back to my fish. I can't get away from my fish at the moment. It's winter. I'm dying to get back into the water. But I was reading about starfish recently because I have always been a murderer, should I, for want of a better word, of the big horned starfish that eat the coral reefs. I mean, they've gone right throughout the crown of thorns. They've gone right throughout most of Asia and all over the Great Barrier Reef and that, and they really are quite a predator. And so whenever I've been diving, if I've seen one, I've just turned it onto its back and made sure that it's died. And you know,
can you eat them?
No, unfortunately, right. You can't. That was one of the first things that I tried to see if we could reuse them in some way. And I'm not really 100% sure why they've become such a huge problem on the reefs, because obviously they were made by Mother Nature, but they're not being killed off how
so
they
used
to
be. They've got no other predator.
I don't think they have,
yeah.
No. And so they've become quite massive. But I also used to get my dive knife out and cut them up because turning them on their backs just didn't kill them straight away. So I'd cut them and kill them that way. And then I was reading the other day and I was thinking, oh, my God, here I am thinking I'm helping the reef. And in actual fact, I've done exactly the opposite.
Oh.
Because these starfish, all starfish, not just the crown of thorns, you cut one leg off, not only can the starfish regrow that leg, but the starfish can grow totally from the leg. So if you cut legs off, you end up with
more starfish.
A whole pile of more starfish, not just.
How bizarre.
I know. I thought that was absolutely amazing. I mean, I know there's many lizards and all sorts of species that can grow their tails and grow another limb and grow this and grow that, but they've got to have the main body, whereas a starfish can grow a whole body just from a limb.
We can learn something from that, surely.
Oh, I tell you, I feel like going back through the years and trying to change them for all the crown of thorns starfish that I used to cut the limbs off, thinking that...
Isn't it interesting, though?
Yeah,
that
it takes about a year. I mean, it's not like it happens overnight. It does take about a year, but they still totally regrow. They don't die.
But why haven't we learned... Isn't that... Oh, this is just... my brain's whizzing away here, thinking, how come we haven't used something like that to, you know, when someone needs their leg amputated or something, that we can't actually just grow one back?
Yeah. I know. Well, I think for years they did try with the lizards and that, didn't they? They tried to find out what it was that... I haven't looked into it enough to be able to answer that question, but obviously it didn't work, otherwise we'd be growing our own legs again now.
Well, that's true as well. So you're the one of the problems.
I'm one of the problems, and probably every other diver like me, because all the divers I was with, we were all the same. I mean, we all believed that we had to try and help the reefs by getting rid of some of these crown of thorns, so...
Isn't it interesting,
we're all doing similar things, yeah.
Isn't it interesting that they don't have a predator, either that or we've fished out the predator of them?
I do remember it has something to do with mankind, why this starfish has become the problem that it is. Obviously, mankind had done something somewhere along the line, but it's just, I mean, it looks pretty. It looks real pretty when you look down on it. But yeah, it's just taken over. I mean, I've been to some reefs where all you can see is this beautiful starfish and just dead coral all around.
So they eat the coral?
They eat the coral. They eat the fish and the coral.
Right.
They just
and then, then the coral starts to die. Mm. Wow. Wow, there's something for us to just mull over for a moment. Actually, let's just mull over that for a moment. We'll just put a bit of music on because I need to mull about this. This is quite bizarre. Love that song. Wow, from chicks to starfish to granddaughters.
Mm.
What's your granddaughter been up to, Irene?
Oh, well, she keeps coming up with all these questions that sends me running off to the computer to Google it to find out. And it's a really, you know, I mean, we as kids, we all ask questions and we all think that grandmas have got the answers to everything. But how do you answer in the world we've got today Nanny, will the world ever run out of drinking water?
Ooh. Ooh. Now, that's a question, isn't it?
Well, I can't turn around and say no, can I? Because today, you just never know. If the world pollutes our water supplies, then yes, we could. And they have already found chemicals and things in certain parts of Iceland and all the rest of it, which have just totally filtered into the ice and been frozen there. So,
and if we go through a whole cycle of drought, maybe it will. That's an interesting question. And water is quite hot on people's mind. Well, it's kind of a bit of a hot topic at the moment as well, isn't it, to how we, I suppose here in New Zealand, we just take it for granted, actually, our water. We turn on a tap, water comes out. You know, we've got water everywhere.
Yeah, well, because it rains so much in New Zealand, I don't think we ever worry about it too much. I mean, we do end up with them saying that the water table is right down and everybody has to start conserving and everything. But I think that's more a case of because we have so much rain, we never really have put elaborate water retention facilities in. You know, we've never needed to. Maybe we need to start thinking about that and retain a little bit more of the rainwater that we get.
That frustrates me. You know me, coming from, you know, trying to live a bit more sustainably, and we they call it harvesting your water. Anyway, collecting, whatever you want to call it. We do. And I seriously think that every new house should be built with water tanks. And someone's done it very cleverly. They've actually made a water tank that looks like actually part of your wall. So it doesn't have to be a big round thing in the backyard. It can actually be one of your walls. And we wouldn't have all this problem with, you know, now you've got to conserve water or run out of water or whatever it is. We're not very clever that way, I don't think.
I think we're just lazy. I mean,
yeah.
I'm really into these tiny houses that's building all through Germany and all over the place. And they're tiny, tiny little places. And instead of just having a solid concrete floor that they build the house on, they make that solid block a concrete water retaining thing. And the water just comes straight down and sits under the house.
Doesn't that make sense?
I know. It doesn't take up any space. It doesn't get dirty. They do have to pump it from there up, whereas, you know, we've always liked water to be high so that it runs down. But the water does have to be pumped up. But they've even got some sort of system going there so that it sort of gets sucked up naturally in some form or another. So, I mean, they have whole walls that are gardens and the water feeds the gardens as well as feeding the house. I mean, there's hundreds of ways that we can keep our water.
And yet we just like all draw from one dam or something, you know. And you're right, as you say, I think we are quite lazy, because when we are asked to, you know, keep an eye on our water usage, there's actually plenty of water everywhere, but we only have particular places where we draw that water from. Hey, listen, we'd love to hear your views out there of how would you answer that question if it was your little granddaughter asking you? What are your thoughts on how we can keep water? Is it going to run out? Do we have to really think about it? Is it the gold of the future? Email us. Not email us. Comment on us. What's the word? I don't know what the
Facebook
word is.
Us.
Facebook us. There you go. Facebook
don't
us.
Don't ask me to do Twitter. I'll do Facebook, but nothing else.
And we'd love to hear your views on how you would answer that question. We'll see you the same time, same place next week. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. Hot air balloon that could go to space with the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Sugars, brought to you by Delacro Communication, delacro.co.nz.